Today's daf is Shabbos daf Nuntes, and we are at the last line of daf Nunches Amid Beis, Ella Omar Rava. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Chaim Yechiel Yosef ben Sarah, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chaya Sarah, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekosil ben Gittel, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Baruch Tzvi ben Shalames Fega, Rafal Ephraim ben Gruna Fega, Chaim Yeshua Shmuel Daniel ben Nira Bela, Ya'el Bas Bela, Rachel Maita Bas Sarah, and Eliyakim Getzel ben Brana Esther. Today's daf is also being learned by Ilui Nishmas, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Alchanan, and Shloim Zev ben Avram Yitzchak. So we are smack in middle of a cheshbin that the Gemara had been discussing for a half a amid. The context is the Mishnah said that one of the things a woman's not allowed to go outside on Shabbos with is a kovel. And the Gemara had a machlokes amiraim, Rabba Vo and Shmuel, what exactly a kovel is. Rabba Vo said a kovel was a kippah shel tzemer. It was a covering made of wool that women would wear underneath their hat. Shmuel said it was a kavla da avla. It was an emblem that slaves, both males and females, would wear. So the Gemara digressed to discuss the halachos of the kavla da avla. And in the course of its digression, the Gemara mentioned a braisa that discussed the kavla da'avla and also discussed bells that slaves would sometimes wear. And from there, the Gemara discussed the halachas of bells. Bells that avadim would wear, bells that children would wear, bells that we use for decorative purposes, bells that were put around animals, such as a cowbell. And the Gemara said that there was a fundamental distinction between the bells that slaves or that adults would wear versus all the other bells. And that is all the other bells were used primarily to make noise. And being that we use to make noise, if it doesn't have its clapper that allows it to make noise, it wouldn't be considered a keli. So with regards to Hilchas Tumah, for example, where something can only be Mekabel Tumah, if it's a keli, the halacha is, it would have no ability to be Mekabel Tumah. However, as it relates to the bells that were worn by adults, they were worn as a tachshit. They were worn as an ornament, and the bell looked decorative, it looked nice, even if the clapper wasn't inside. So even if it didn't have the inbo, even if it didn't have that clapper, the halacha is it would be makabel tumah. Then the Gemara continued and discussed the halacha of a bell that was used for tinoikis, where again, the halacha is if it has the clapper, then it's makabel tumah. If it doesn't have the clapper, then it's not going to be makabel tumah. What would be if it had its clapper and it became tummy? And then the inbo came out, so it no longer has this clapper. What's the halacha? Does it remain tummy? Or do we say that being that the clapper is not there anymore, at this point it shouldn't be tummy? Now the backdrop to the Gemara's question is that ordinarily, the halach is that just like something has to be a keli in order for it to be makabel tumah, if you have a keli and you do something to it, something destructive, so that now it's no longer functional, it's no longer a keli, it loses its status of tumah. So just like it has to be a keli in order for it to become tumah, the halacha is that if something became tame because it was a keli, and then something happened to it so it's no longer a functional keli, it would lose its tumah. Stating that, surprisingly, the Braisa says that if somebody had a bell that was used for children, had its clapper, it became tame, and now the inbul's not there anymore. I die in tumas and alayim, it remains tame. And the Gemara's question was, why is that the case? If the halacha is that the zug, the bell that was used for children, is only a keli to the extent it's able to make noise, to the extent that it has its clapper, and it's for that reason, if it doesn't have its clapper, the halacha is that it's not mekabel tumah, so the halacha should be the same, that in the event that it was tameh already and it lost its clapper, it should no longer be tameh. So at the end of Daf Nun Ches, Amid Beis, the Gemara brought the first of three terutz into this question, and that was Abayis Teretz. Abayis said, Hoyol shahedi yachal lahachzira. The reason is because although it's true the bell without the clapper is not really a keli, so from that standpoint it shouldn't be tummy anymore, but being that it's so easy to put it back together, see, even when it's detached, it's viewed as if it is attached. Rava asked the kasha on Abayo, and we pick up with the Rava's own pshat in the Brice. Elamar Rava, hoil v'roi lakishi agavi cheres. It's true that the bell that doesn't have the clapper in it, it can't be used in a conventional way, but it still could be used. It's still functional. What you could do is you could take the bell and you can clap it on top of a kli cheres. If you do that, it's going to make noise. So it still has a usage. Being that it still has a usage, and by the way, not only does it have a usage, it has a very comparable usage to what you would have done with it had it had its clapper. So it's still considered a keli, so it would still retain its status of toma. A tana said the same thing that Rava said. Rabbi Eichon said a third shot. The reason it's still toma is because you use it for something else. You can use the bell, being that it's shaped like a cup, to feed a child. So again, there's something that you can do with it, and as a result, it's going to still remain tummy. In other words, we have three pshatim as to why this zug that was used for children, its function was to make noise. If it doesn't have a clapper, can't make noise anymore. If it was tummy and the clapper is removed, it remains toma. Abaye said, the reason is because it's so easy to put it back together. Rava said, the reason is because you could still clap with it, you could still make noise with it, albeit in a unconventional way. Rabbi Yochanan said you can use it to serve children. Now the truth is Rava's teretz and Rabbi Yochanan's teretz is very similar, but it's different. And the subtle difference is very, very important, and it's going to be the topic of the first half of today's daf. Rava said that the function that you can still use the bell without the clapper for is to make noise. Rabbi Yochanan said the function you could still use it for is legabe ma'im latina. You could serve a child with it. It sounds a little bit like, according to Rava, it's dafka because you were able to use it, the bell, for something similar to what it would have been used had it had its clapper, that we stay, that it remains tummy. But if you have a keli that's used for purpose A, and then it gets damaged, and you have a way to improvise to use it for something else, if that other thing is not similar to its primary usage, it sounds like maybe the halacha is, at that point, it wouldn't be tummy anymore, even though it's still a keli, and it still can be used. But if it can't be used, may ain the melacha that it was going to be used for previously would be an issue. Rabbi Yechon doesn't seem to have a problem with that. Rabbi Yechon had said, the fact that you could do anything with it, that's enough for it to retain its status as a keli. We don't need that you can use it for something that's me'ain what it was being previously used. Says the Gemara, is that true though? When she says Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan loyboy be'ein melacha rishayna, is it true that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that if something was tameh and it was a keli, and now something happened to the keli, the halacha is that it can remain tameh as long as it's functional, even if that function that you can use it for now is not me'ain what it was previously used. It was previously a bell, now you can use it to serve breakfast. Is it true that Rabbi Yochanan's that's enough for it to still be considered a keli, for it still to be tameh? V'atan yufreikim when we learn to the brayis of chol kli hashayeshav all of the goymer. The context over there is the halach of a zav. A zav, like any person that has a tumah hayoytze migufay, meaning any person that's tameh because of something that came out of his body. A zav, a nida, a mitzayra. They have a very special halach in Shulchan Aruch, and that is that they could be metameh tumas medras, which means for our Gemara, if anything they sit on, anything they lie on, would become tame. Not only would it become tame, it would become an avat tuma. It's known as tumas medras. So the halach is like this. Yochel says the brayis a kofa sovi yashav aleha kofa targu vi yashav aleha. What would be if a zav would take a barrel that's used to hold things, to store things? He would flip it upside down and he would sit on it. You would think, yay, tame, that the halach is that the barrel should now become tame. Why? Because it's a medrash. The halach is if a zav sits on something, it becomes tame. So the zav just sat on the barrel. You would think it should be tame. Tame goyma, ashe yeshev olav azav. It should have said ashe yashev olav azav. Ashe yeshev is in real time. Why the pasuk talk that way? We learn from there, mishem miyuchad liyeshiva, that it's only something that people are yeshev. They're sitting on. They're constantly sitting on. It's only then yet you have the halach of tumas medras. As opposed to this, if a zav or any person would be sitting on a barrel and somebody needed the barrel, what would he say? Sir, can you please stand up? I need the barrel. I have to put apples in it. It's something I need for. Amoy, get up. So we can do what this thing is meant for. So it says the price. So the halach is that even though a zav is metame tumas medras, so usually anything that he sits on becomes tameh, avatomo, tumas mishkov, umayishkov, the halach of tumas medras, but it's only if he sits on something that people usually sit on. If he would sit on something that people don't usually sit on, you wouldn't have that halach. This is a braisa. This is undisputable. But now we have a machlokes amayroim, how to understand this braisa. Rabbi Elazar said that the Gemara said, oimrim loy amoy v'nasim alachteinu, that's only the midrasis. It's only when it comes to tumas medras, the pasuk that the Gemara brought was with regards to a zav, in the specific context of Tumas Mishkov Umayshav, Tumas Medris. So it's over there that we have this halacha of Amoy Venasim Alachtenu. However, Ve'ein Oimrim Betomei Meis Amoy Venasim Alachtenu. But as it relates to any other Tumah, such as, just as an example, example, to masmeis, you wouldn't have this halacha of amoid v'nasim lachteinu. In other words, Rabbi Loza said that the halacha of amoid v'nasim lachteinu is only true with regards to Tumas Medras. It's not true with regards to any other Tumah. And really, what Rabbi Loza was saying was two things. Number one, Rabbi Loza was saying, this is important, that the halacha of Amoy V'Nasim Alachteinu is only true for Tumas Medras. He was also saying that it's always true for Tumas Medras. Meaning, it's only true for Tumas Medras. This whole concept, this halacha that we're discussing right now, is only true for the unique Tumah of Mishka V'Moyeshev that relates to Azov. It's not true for any other type of Tumah. But it's always true for Tumas Medras. Meaning, just like the halacha is that if Azov would sit on something that people don't usually sit on, the halacha is that there'd be no Tumas Mishka V'Moyeshev, the halacha would be in the reverse. If Azov sat on a chair, and he was mitamid betumas mishka v'moyeshev. And now something happened to the chair. So the chair is no longer a functional chair, but you could do something else with that chair. So does it remain tameh? The halacha is no. Because you have the same concept of oimrim amoy v'nasim elachteinu, that being that this is not a chair, because if you were using it for whatever, people would say, no, I need it for something else, that's enough that it shouldn't be tameh. So Rabbi Loza is saying that you have this idea of amoy v'nasim elachteinu, but you only have it by Tumas Medras. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Af oimer b'tomei meis amoy v'nas malachteinu." He argued, and he said that even by tomei meis, you have the halach of amoy v'nas malachteinu. This halach is not unique. It's not only true for Tumas Medras, but the halach is true even for Tumas Meis. Now, if that's the case, so what's Rabbi Yochanan saying? He's saying that if you would have something that's tomei, not Tumas Mishkov Umoyshev per se, but even Tumas Meis, it was in an oil hameis, and now the keli was damaged. It was damaged to the point that you can use it for what it was originally intended to be used for, but you can use it for something. Will it remain tamei or will it not remain tamei? Rabbi Yochanan says that just like in the world of Zav and Mishkov Umoyshev, it would not be tamei. That's the halacha known as Amoy V'Nasim Alachteinu. You have it by Tumas Meis as well. If that's the case, you have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan said, as it relates to our sugyo, as relates to this halacha of the bell, that if you have a bell that had a clapper, it was meant only for children, its function is just to clap and to make noise. And now the clapper's not there, the halacha is, but being that you could still use it to serve food to a child, so that's enough for it to remain tummy. What do you mean? Amoy v'nasim alachteinu. It's not the same function. If it's not the same function, it shouldn't be tummy anymore. And so Bishlam, if Rabbi Yochanan would hold like Rabbi Lazar, that Amoy v'nasim alachteinu is only true by Tumas Medras, it's not a kasha. We're not talking about Tumas Medras. But being that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said that even by Tomei Meis, it's not only true by Tumas Medras, even though the Pasuk that teaches us this halacha is by Tumas Medras, but it's true really by all Tomeis, you have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Do you say that being that it could still be used as a keli, it remains Tomei, or do you say no, Amoy v'nasim alachteinu, being that it can't be used for the same purpose it was used previously, it can't be Tomei anymore? So the Gemara says, Epech Kamais, you have a steer in Rabbi Yochanan, you have to flip one of them, change the first one, say that it was Rabbi Yochanan that said to explain the brisa regarding the bell, Hoyo v'roi lakishe al gabi chayos, you could still use it for the same purpose, and it was Rabbi that was the one that said, Hoyo v'roi lakibay b'mayim. So the Gemara says, Maychaz d'afkas kamaycha epech b'rais reis. So you have a steer over here between two brises. How do you know which one to be mahapach? Maybe the second one is the wrong one, and the first one's the right one. So the Gemara says, "Shimin le Rabbi Yochanan, the boy bein melach rishon, because there's a third Rabbi Yochanan, and being there's a third Rabbi Yochanan, that's the kasev ashlishi hamachriya beinem. Where's this third Rabbi Yochanan? So it's not Ditanya, it's Ditnan. It's a Mishnah in the 14th parak of Masechtas Kalim. Sandal shal behema. If an animal had shoes, so sometimes they would put a sandal on a behema, so that the animal shouldn't hurt itself. Shamatris, if it's made of metal, tame, daloch is it's tame, meaning it's mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, my chazi, why is it mekabel tumah? So at first glance, you'll tell me, what do you mean? It's mekabel tumah because it's a shoe. Now, it's not a shoe that's made for people, it's a shoe that's made for animals, but it is a shoe, so why shouldn't that be enough of a reason for it to be able to be mekabel tumah? So Rashi says that that's not a reason, because ain't tachshut the behema. A behema doesn't have clothing. A behema doesn't have tachshitim. So even though we sometimes refer to a tachshit of a behema and a malbush of a behema, we're just talking loosely. But really, it doesn't have a tachshit in halacha. So any keli that's used to facilitate as an accessory for an animal, if that's all its function is, it wouldn't be considered a keli. So the sandal shel behema that's made of metal, if it's tame, it must be it's a keli, meaning it must have some other significance. So says the Gemara, what is that significance? Amar Rab, Rab said, so people used to put the sandal on the animals when they would go out into war. And when you're at war, sometimes you need a drink and you have to improvise. You don't have dishes with you. So they would take the sandal off the foot of the horse and they would drink with it. So it's a kais. It's a keli. That's why it's makabal tuk b'chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, roi lasach bai shemen b'machama. Sometimes people would bathe at war and they would pour shemen and then pour it on themselves. And they used this again as a keli. Rabbi Yechon said, b'shashav reich menach krav. When people were running away at war, menichav reaglav ratzal kaitz of al-brakar. Sometimes the people would take it off the animal and they would put it on their own feet because they needed it. Either way, Rav, Rav Chanina, and Rav Yochanan, Gedolei Amirayim, argued as to what's the significance of the sandal shel behema. Why would it be considered a keli that it should be mekabel tumah? Says the Gemara, Mai bein Rav to Rav Chanina. Sounds like they're arguing over subtleties. Is there a nafkamina lalacha? I mean, what's the difference between Rav's pshat and Rav Chanina's pshat? Rav said you could drink from it. Rav Chanina said you could pour oil from it. Mara says it could be now the maos. No, nafkamina would be. What if it's maos? What if it's disgusting? You wouldn't drink from it, but you would pour oil from it. So big nafkamina. Is it mekabel tumah or is it not mekabel? Between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, what's nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina? So the Gemara says, "Ikebeinayu." The nafkamina would be the yaker. There would be a nafkamina if it's heavy. If it's heavy, you wouldn't be able to run with it. And as a result, there would chap a nafkamina. You'd be able to pour oil from it, but it's not something that you would be able to run with. So again, there would be a nafkamina. But what do you see from here? What you see from here is the Rabbi Yochanan clearly holds that the halacha is that there's a loch of amoid v'nasa milachteinu with regards to shar tumois, and it's for that reason, says the Gemara, if you have a choice to be mahapach the resha or to be mahapach the seifa, we weren't sure which one of the Rabbi Yochanans need to be switched. We need to switch the first Rabbi Yochanan and not switch the second Rabbi Yochanan. Zok de Gemara. V'loi be'ir sol. So going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah discussed b'met yisha yoitza uvhama eina yoitza. And then the Mishnah gave a whole list of things that a woman is not allowed to go outside with on Shabbos. And the truth is, if we revisit the Mishnah, now that we learned a few daf in here, Perek B'mei Isha, we'll see that the different halachas that were mentioned in the Mishnah that are also for a woman to wear on Shabbos are not all for the same reasons. Let's go through the Mishnah again. What was the reason for that? The Mishnah gave the reason. It was the next line. It's because these are things that were put, they were braided into the woman's hair. As a result, if she had a toivol, she would have to loosen it because it would be considered a chatzitza. Being that it's considered a chatzitza, if she had a tefillas mitzvah on Shabbos, she would have to loosen it. If she would have to loosen it, she may come to carry it. Either way, it's for that reason, don't wear it, because you may end up carrying it. The Mishnah continued and said, V'loi b'toy tefes, v'loi b'sarvitim, b'zman she'en einon tfura. These were things that women wore as jewelry. It was worn on her hat. Sometimes they were tied, sometimes they weren't tied. If they're tied or sewed to the hat, you have nothing to worry about. But if they're not sewed, then with the chachamim were concerned that maybe this woman will meet her friend, sholfa, umechavya. She may show it to her friend, look at this nice thing that I have. You may come to carry it. Then the Mishnah said, v'loy bekovel. A woman's not allowed to wear a kovel. What's a kovel? So we spoke about that earlier. Machloikis, whether the kovel means the wig that was underneath the woman's hat, or whether it's referring to the kavla da'avla, depending on what it means, that would make a nafkamina as to what pshat in the Mishnah is as far as why the woman's not allowed to wear it, as the Gemara discussed in great detail on Daf Nunches. Then the Mishnah mentioned a whole bunch of pieces of jewelry that a woman's not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Said the Mishnah, V'loi be'ir shal zav, V'loi be'katla, V'loi be'nezamin, V'loi be'tabah she'en ole achoysim, V'loi be'machat she'en in akufa. So the Gemara is going to go through all these different articles of jewelry that a woman's not allowed to wear on Shabbos. A little lighter than the first half of the Daf. Says the Gemara, Ma'i be'ir shal zav. What exactly is an ir shal zav? Amar Rabba bar Barchan. So the Machloek is showing him exactly what this is, but it seems there was some sort of headpiece that women would wear, wealthy women would wear. It was gold, and it seemed to have the Yerushalayim skyline, so to speak. But regardless, the Yerushalayim didahava, this is what the Mishnah is referring to when it says, not just any city. talking about Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. That's the city we're referring to. And then the Gemara says, K'da'avalei Rabbi Akiva l'daviso. And this is the piece of jewelry that Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. Rashi says, take a look at Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and we'll talk about this in the Rate Bites. Tanu Rabbanon, Loiseitze Isha B'Irshal Zav. A woman's not allowed to go outside on Shabbos with an Irshal Zav. Him Yatzav, she goes, Echayev Eschatos. In other words, a woman's not allowed to wear an Irshal Zav. The Mishnah said that. Not only can she not wear it, but if she wears it, it's Chil Shabbos Midai Raisa. Chayev Eschatos is a way of saying, it's Chil Shabbos Midai Raisa. Chachamim say, Lo Yitzei. She's not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. Vim Yatzah Ptur. But if she does, she's Potter. Meaning, it's Asim Midai Rabbanon. It's not Asim Midai Raisa. Rebbelezer said, Lo Yitzei Shabbos Irshal Zav L'Chatchila. A woman's allowed to go outside with Irshal Zav L'Chatchila. So basically, we have three completely different opinions. The first is Rameir. Rameir says, Asim Midai Raisa. Chachamim say, Asim Midai Rabbanon. Rabbi Eliezer was on the other extreme, and Rabbi Eliezer said that it's mutter likatchil. Said the word, "Mike, not so much like Rameh." So Rameh holds masu. Consider carrying. It's considered carrying. It's awesome midei raisa. Rabbanu savi the Rabbanu hold tachshedu. It's jewelry. It's not awesome midei raisa. Jewelry is not awesome midei raisa. It's awesome midei Rabbanu. Dil mashalfa mechadile v'asi lasu. Because we're afraid that she may take it off to show her friend. Her friend's going to carry it. Rabbi Eliezer, sub Rabbi Eliezer holds man darkle mei pipir shalzav ish chashuva. It's jewelry. I agree. But who wore it? Only important women used to wear it. The isha chashuva like mashalfa mechavya. An important woman and isha chashuva would never do that. She would never take her jewelry off in the street and let her friend try it on. It's not happening. And as a result, there's no concerns. Rabbi Eliezer said, it's a tachshit, it's not carrying. The concern is a derabbanon concern, shalfa mechavya. I'm not worried because only Noshim Chashuvas used to wear Klila. A Klila is a tiara. Rab said it's also to wear on Shabbos. Shmuel said it's mutter to wear on Shabbos. Says the Gemara. There were different types of tiaras. You have to know which one we're talking about. The Aniska, the one that was made out of silver and gold, everyone holds this asa to wear. Why? That's a nice piece of jewelry. There's a concern a woman may take it off to show her friend. Ki pligi da ruksot. Machloikis is the one that was made out of fabric. Now Rashi says, even the one that was made out of fabric, but it was mitsuyeres bizav ubavonim toivois. They used to pepper it with stones and maybe diamonds and gold. So it was a piece of jewelry to an extent, but it was primarily not made of gold and silver. Rather, it was primarily made out of some material. So the Gemara says, hence, there was a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, meaning Mar Sovar and Nisko Iker. Rav held the Iker is the jewelry. It's the diamonds. It's certainly the more expensive part of it. And as a result, it's treated as jewelry. A woman's not allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos because we're afraid. Shalfa Mechavi. Mar Sovar Ruksa Iker. Shmuel held the Iker is the fabric. As a result, it's a regular malbush. A regular malbush, the Chum never asked it. Rashi had a different version. He said, everybody holds the one that was made out of material is mutter. Can you please? The machlekes was the aniska, the one that was made out of metals. According to Rav, that was Asur. Umar Sova, man darkle mepik, but Klilo, who's the one that wears it? Isha Chashuva, the Isha Chashuva, the Shalfa Mechavi. Meaning, just like Rabbi Eliezer said, that a woman's allowed to wear an Irshal Zav. Why? It's jewelry. I thought a woman's not allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos. We're afraid. Dilma Shalfa Mechavi. What was the answer? Because important women were the only women that wore it, and there's no concern, Shalfa Mechavi. So it's for that reason, Shmuel held you're allowed to wear a Klilo. He held the Klilo was mutter. He wasn't concerned about Shofa Mechavia because man darkle meipak, but clearly it was only an Isha Chashuva. The Isha Chashuva loy Shofa Mechavia. Incidentally, we're going to get to this when we get into the Halacha L'maisa, right? Halacha L'maisa, we're learning Mishnayos and Gemaras that women are not allowed to wear jewelry. Is that true? A woman's not allowed to wear jewelry. The Minig Yisrael is that women wear jewelry on Shabbos. So the truth is, Tosfos talks about it later in the parak on Daf Samech Talad Amid Beis, and it's brought down on Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shin Gimel. But one takeaway that's going to be important when we get into the raid at the end of the week after we finish the sugya, Be'ezus Hashem, is that you see from this Gemara that even though the Chachamim said that you're not allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos, but it wasn't a gzera with a light plug. It wasn't one of those gzeras that a woman can't wear jewelry. It doesn't matter who the woman is. It doesn't matter what the jewelry is. It's always awesome because you see that jewelry that was only worn by an Isha Chashuva was mutter. Because an Isha Chashuva is not going to be Shalfa Mechavia. Meaning the Isser was only implemented to the extent that there was a clear and present danger of Shalfa Mechavia. But if things would change, for example, where there's no longer a reason to be concerned, Shalfa Mechavia, based on our Gemara, you have here a little bit of a Pesach to be Mekel. Because you see from here that the concern was only a concern for women that are Shalfa Mechavia. What about an Isha Chashuva that's like Shalfa Mechavia? So you could easily argue, Lai plug. Chum didn't say that. Chum said it's going to be mutter. Bottom line is, we had a machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether the kalila, this tiara, was aser or mutter. Rav said aser, Shmuel said mutter, and we had two dirsa'os as to when exactly the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel was. According to the first gear, so the one that was made of gold and silver, everyone held was aser. The machlokes was the one that was made of material, meaning even then Rav said it was aser. It's a chumra in Rav. Rav always held it was aser. According to the second version, no, the one that was made of material, everyone held was mutter. Meaning Rav didn't always say aser, Rav sometimes said mutter. The point is that the one that was made of gold and silver, that's where the machlokes was. And if that's the case, what comes out is a chiddush in Shmuel, a koyach de hetera, that even then Shmuel held it was mutter. On that note, amalei Rav Shmuel bar barchanel the Rav Yosef, beferish amalei mech made the Rav. So Rav Shmuel, Rav Yosef told Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, we know, forgot his learning. And very often his talmidim would have to remind him of things that he said. So they told Rav Yosef, you know, you once told us in the name of Rav, klila shari, that klila's mutter. What does that mean? That means that Rabbi Yosef held like the second girsa in the Gemara, not the first girsa. Because according to the first version in the Gemara, Rav always held Klila's Aser. In the case where it was made out of gold and silver, everyone held it was Aser. The Machlokes Rav and Shmuel was when it was made out of material, and Rav then said it was Aser. It's according to the second girsa that Rav maybe one time held that Klila's Mutter, where it's made out of material. There, everyone holds its mutter. The whole machlekes Rav and Shmuel is when it was a real piece of jewelry. It was made of either silver or gold. Bottom line is that for Rav Shmuel bar Barchana told Rav Yosef, says Rashi, that's a raya to the second girsa in the Gemara, which means Shmuel always held it was mutter. We're going to get back to this soon. And Rav held sometimes mutter and sometimes also. Amr le Rav, they told Rav, also gavra rabba aricha l'naharda umatla. So Rav was told that someone very chashiv came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. So Rav said, who came? He says, I don't know his name. He says, can you describe him? He said, yeah, he's very, very tall and he walks with a limp. You know, a gavra rabba, he's very chashiv. He's aricha, he's tall. Rav was also tall. Rav was sometimes known as Abba Aricha. His name was Abba and he was aricha. He was very tall. Umitla and he limps. Vidaresh, and he said Klila Shari Amar. So Rav said he made a cheshbon. Man gaver Rabba Richa de Itli. He said, I know one person that's very chashiv, that's tall, and he limps. Levi Shmami no. So Rav said, if this is the case, must be Noch Nafshe the Rav Office. Rav Office must have passed away. The Yosef Rav Chanina Bereisha, and Rav Chanina became the Rosh Hashiva. And Levi doesn't have a chavrusa anymore. And as a result, because that's why he came to Bavel. That's why he came to us. So, just before we even go weiter, so what's the rest of the story? So Rashi tells us the rest of the story. It's a Gemara Masechtas Ksubis, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, one of the most famous dafin in Shas, that talks about Ptirasa Yishol Rebbe. So before Rebbe passed away, he gave final instructions to his children. One of the things he said was, is that I want my son, not I want Reb Chanina Bar Chama, I want Reb Chanina Bar Chama to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Gemara says, Reb Chanina, after Rebbe passed away, didn't want to be the Rosh Yeshiva. And the reason is because there was another Yid, Reb Office, who was 2.5 years older than him. And he felt that it's better that Reb Office should be the Rosh Yeshiva. So Reb Office became Rosh Yeshiva. So even though Rebbe said, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ameis, that Reb Chanina should be the Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chanina, he passed. He said, I'd rather Reb Office be the Rosh Yeshiva. But being that Reb Chanina was told that he should be the Rosh Yeshiva, and it seems he was even more chashiv than Reb Office, he was just a little younger than him, but it seems he was more chashiv than him, he didn't want to go in and listen to Reb Office's share. So Reb Chanina was sitting outside Beis Medrash by himself. So Levi felt bad that Reb Chanina shouldn't have a chavrusa. So Levi sat with Reb Chanina. So now Levi comes to Bavel. So Rav says, aha, he made a whole cheshbon. He says, if somebody tall, who's very chashiv, who limps, just came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, must be, this is what he said, Rav Ofis passed away. Meaning, Reb Chanina now became Rosh Yeshiva. Because the only reason Reb Chanina didn't listen to Rebbe and became Rosh Yeshiva is because Reb Ofis was there. He was a little older than him. He said, but now Reb Ofis passed away. So now Reb Chanina became the Rosh Yeshiva. As a result, Levi doesn't have a Chavrus anymore. And that's for that reason that Levi probably came. Says the Gemara, how do you know that's what happened? V'duma noch nafshid Reb Chanina. Maybe it's Mubashit. Maybe Reb Chanina passed away. His Chavrus is not alive anymore. So that's why he came. Oh, but Reb Ofis k'dekai k'ai. How did Rav know for sure it was Reb Ofis that passed away? So the Gemara says, he didn't have a chavrus anyway, but kasi lahachal. What's going to say? He said, Reb Chanina shachav. If it was Reb Chanina that passed away, Levi the Reb Office make of havi kayiflei. No, because Levi would have gone to Reb Office's share. He wasn't going to go to Reb Chanina's share, but he was going to go to Reb Office's share. So this is a little intricate. So he would have gone to Reb Office. So must be that it was Reb Office that passed away, and it was Reb Chanina that became the Rosh Yeshiva. Levi wasn't going to go to Reb Chanina's share. He was going to be his chavrusa. But now the Rav Chanina is Rosh Shiva, so Levi decided to go to Bavel. The Gemara says Vesu, but I'll tell you even another pshat. This is great. The Rav Chanina lay sagid lay malach. It's not possible. Rav knew there was no way Rav Chanina passed away. You know why? Because Rebbe told Rav Chanina, you're going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Diki have a noch and nisha, the Rebbe, Omer Chanina, Rav Chami Yosef, and Rosh. Viksivu, but tzadikim, and we know that when it comes to tzadikim, Vesigzer, Omer, Vyokim, loch. If a tzadik says something, it happens. He had a haftocha Rav Chanina did from Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Right, we spoke about the haftocha that the barber had from the night of Yehuda. This is a haftocha that Rav Chanina Rav Chama had from Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So Rav knew there was no way in the world that he wasn't going to be Rosh Hashiva. So must be, it wasn't Rav Chanina that passed away. It must have been that it was Rav Office that passed away. Either way. So Levi came to Nahardah and he said, Kli L'Shari. So the Gemara, Darash Levi, Ben Nahardah, Kli L'Shari. And Nafik Esrim V'Arba Kli L'Mikulin Nahardah. And from the whole city of Nahardah, there were 24 women that went outside wearing a klila. They went outside wearing this tiara. Dorish Rabbi Bar Avuah ben Mechayza, klila shari. Rav Avuah was in Mechayza, and he darshan that a klila is mutter. V'nafku tamni yisri klila michadam avoyim. From one mavoy, there were 18 women that went outside wearing a klila. Before we go weiter, I saw in the Chassam Sofer, says a davar nifla, just to bring out how every word in the Gemara you can learn something from. So it just seems like a very edel Gemara. Levi came to Nahardah, he darshan that klila is mutter, and there were 24 women that went outside mikula Nahardah. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Rabbi Bar Avuah went to Mechayza, he said that klila shari, the notku tamni sri klili michadam avaya. So the Chassam Sofer said that you see from here the difference between Nahardah and the difference between Mechayza. Nahardah is mentioned throughout Shas as a very chashuv city. It was an ir shel Torah. Mechuzah was mentioned throughout Shas as a city of Mefunakim and Ashirim. Rava at one point was the Rava Mechuzah, and he spoke very harshly. He used to give a lot of teichacha to the people in Mechuzah. As many Gemaras like that. So the Chassam Sofer said, "Who is the Marid to Asur in Nahardah?" Shmuel. Shmuel was the Marid to Asur in Nahardah. Shmuel said Kli L'Shari, but the Olam. Even though Shmuel, the mother, the Astra, Paskin, Kli L'Shari, the women felt that, no, we're going to be machmer. We're not going to go out. Levi then came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he brought with him this grace of psak. Maybe you heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, that Kli L'Shari. So then the women decided, you know what? There were makilim. You know how many makilim were? Mikula Nahardah, there were 18 makilim. Said the Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Bar Avuah came to Mechuzah. He was passing through Mechuzah. He didn't live there. He was passing through Mechuzah, and he gave a drasha. The Olam was mechabed him to speak in Beis Medrash, and he said, Kli L'Shari. Kli L'Shari? One cul-de-sac. 24 women walked outside wearing the Kli L'Shari. So he said, Ru'u ma bein. He says, take a look at the difference between the Hardah, Ashtot Fintayra, and the city of Mechuzah. He said, Ashtot Fintayra, the Marid Asra Shmuel said Kli L'Shari. And Levi came, so you're right. There was all of a sudden, and there was a koyach hetera, and people were tumbling. So 18 women walked out with a klila. He says, a mechuzah, one city, because a rope came through and he issued a heter, everybody jumped on it. From one mavoy, there were already 24. Zok to Gemara Vayit. Om Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav Shmuel, Kamra Shari. So a kamra is a decorative belt that women used to wear. It's mutter to wear on Shabbos. Ikidami, some say that ruksa. Some say he was talking about this fabric belt. Om Rav Safra, and Rav Safra explained that what was pshat, because me to have a talis musevis, you find that you're allowed to wear a talis that's musevis, that has gold on it. So even though this belt had some gold on it, it was decorative, it doesn't matter. Still, the halach is that it's going to be motiv. Ikadami, some say da nischa. No, it was that this psak of Kamra Shari was referring to the one that was made of metal, made of gold and silver. From Rav Safra, explained me to have a avni shal malachim. The malachim used to wear gartels that were made of gold and silver. Those were the belts that they used to wear. And it was mutter, so this is going to be mutter as well. Omeli, Rabbeinu Ravashi, Kamri Uluim Yonamai. What if somebody wears a kamra, this belt, on top of another belt? It's like a second belt. There's a mutter amale. So Rav Ashi told Ravina, Treyam Yani Kamrit, you're talking about two belts? Of course that's aser. You're carrying. There's no excuse to wear two. I'm Rav Ashi said, Had Resuka. Resuka is a corset. The Islay Mafrechaisa Shari. If there's a way to tie it together, it's mutter. V'iloy, if not, aser, it's going to be aser. And the reason is not because we're concerned that a woman's going to take it off. It's not a piece of jewelry. But at the same time, if it's not tied together, there's a concern it may fall off. If it's not tied together, then there's no concern it's going to. If it is tied together, there's no concern that it's going to fall off. And in that case, it's going to be mutter. Continuing. V'iloy Bekatla. Woman's not allowed to wear katla. So we mentioned that a katla is a choker, but it's something a little bit more specific. My katla menakta pa'ari. So apparently it served a dual purpose. Number one, it was made to make the woman look the way she wanted to look. But additionally, it was also there to catch the crumbs. Menakta used to chap the fari, these crumbs. It was a little bit of a, it was jewelry that was also a bib. Nizamim, what's a nezem? Nizme ha'af, a nose ring. These are all things a woman's not allowed to wear on Shabbos. Why? And the Mishnah said a woman's not wearing Shabbos a ring that doesn't have a signet on it. So we're going to get a little bit more familiar with this in the coming daffin. But for now, there were two types of rings once upon a time. There was a ring, like people wear rings today, a piece of jewelry. And then there was a tabash yeshal echaisim that had a signet inside of it that people would use to seal documents, to seal letters. It was something that was very functional, that was used. And in halacha, specifically in Hilchos Shabbos, there's differences between a tabash yesh lechaisim and a tabas she'eino lechaisim. So the Mishnah said that a woman is not allowed to go outside with a tabas she'eino lechaisim. And then the Mishnah said, v'imyatzes, if she does, and this v'imyatzes is really going back on everything in the Mishnah, eino chayev eschatas, meaning she's not going to be chayev eschatas. So the Gemara is medayik. It sounds like that because the tabas has no chaisim on it, it's a piece of jewelry, so that's why if a woman wears it on Shabbos, she's not chayev eschatas, because jewelry is also to wear midrabanan. It's not also to wear midrabanan. You're not carrying it, you're wearing it. But midrabanan, it's also. Yesh lechaisim, it sounds like, if there would be a chaisim on it, meaning if there would be a signet on it, chayeves, she would be chayev midiraisa. And the truth is, the Gemara says it here like it's a diak. It's really a mefurish mishnah, and Tais already asks why the Gemara had to come on to a diak. But it's a mefurish mishnah later, it's meduyik in our mishnah. Again, what? That the only time it's only asa midrabanan to wear a ring on Shabbos is if it has no chaisim. If, however, it has a chaysam, it's not only asa midrabanan, it's asa midiraisa. Alma, what's the reason? Laf tachshid, because it's not a tachshid. Because if it's not a tachshid, then what is it? You're carrying it. It's like you're carrying anything. So it's for that reason that yechayiv chat. If you want to ask you a kasha, tachshid, dey nashim tmeim. The tachshidim of nashim are mekabel tuma. Jewelry is mekabel tuma. It's considered a keli. Veiluin tachshid, dey nashim. These are examples of tachshid, dey nashim. Katlois, nizamim, vitabois. The tabas ben sheyesh le'achaisim ben sheino le'achaisim vinis me'af. So one of the examples of jewelry that the Braisa gives is tabois. Tabois ben sheyesh le'achaisim ben sheino le'achaisim. This is not a Braisa; it's a Mishnah in the 11th parak of the Masechta Scale. Amar abzera. Either way, so we have a stira from our Mishnah. It's mashma that a tabas sheyesh le'achaisim is not a tachshit. That's why if a woman wears it, she's not considered to be wearing jewelry. On Shabbos, she'd be chayiv chatas. Yet we have a Mishnah that discusses tachshitei nashim that are mekabel tuma. If it's a tachshit, it's mekabel tuma. It mentions a tabas, sheyesh lechaisim. So is it a tachshit? Is it not a tachshit? In Shabbos, it would seem that it's not a tachshit. You're chayiv chatas, you're carrying. If it's a tachshit, you're not carrying, you're wearing. And as it relates to tuma, you see you are chayiv chatas. So the Gemara says a few terutzim. Amar Rabzeir, Rabzeir said, loikash. Amar Nechemiah, Rabbanon. One Mishnah is going to interrupt Nechemiah. The other Mishnah is going to interrupt Rabbanon. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. He shall matchas chayisam shall almoy. We had this earlier in the Masechta. If someone has a ring that was made of metal, but the chayisam, the signet was made of wood. Tameya, the halach is, it's going to be tamei. Shal almoy, if the ring itself was made of wood, the chayisam shall matchas, but the signet was made of metal, tahira, the halach is, it's going to be tahir. Rav Nechemiah mitam. Rav Nechemiah argues, he says, no, it's going to be tamei. What's the svaros? The Tanakama, the Chachamim hold, that the ring is defined as it relates to tuma based on the ring, not based on the signet. So if the ring is made of wood, it's not tamei. You know why? Because it's pshutei kliets, they're not mekabel tuma. The only time wood is mekabel tuma is if it has a receptacle. This is pshutei kliets, it's not mekabel tuma. If the ring itself is made of metal, then it would be mekabel tuma. Rav Nechemiah says that I don't care about the ring, I care about the signet. What's Pshat and Rav Nechemiah? Shoy Rav Nechemiah. Because Rav Nechemiah used to say, B'tabas, when it comes to a ring, you always define the nature of the ring, meaning, is the ring mekabel tuma, not mekabel tuma? Is it metal, is it cheres, is it tzchuches, is it wood? You look at the signet. Ba'oil, the yoke that goes on an animal when it's plowing, you don't look at the yoke itself, you look at the pegs that were there to keep the yoke together. B'koilov, Rashi says this is a board that store owners used to put in front of their store, and there were nails inside, and they would hang tchotchkes that they were selling. Halach acha masmeroisav. You look at the nails. That determines the status of this board, whether it's mekabel tumah, it's not mekabel tumah. Besulon, when it comes to a ladder, halach acha shlivoisav. You look at the rungs of the ladder. Ba'arsi, when it comes to a scale, Rashi says a meiznayim, halach acha shal shlivoisav. These are the chains that hold up the little kalim, where you put things when you want to weigh them. Chachamim argue. They said, you don't look at the nails, but you look at the thing that's supporting the thing that you're using this for. Do you look at the support, or Rav Nechemya has a little bit more of a complicated way of looking at it? But the bottom line is, so what's the Gemara's teretz? The Gemara's teretz is like Kasha. Harav Nechemya, harav Adam. We're trying to figure out whether or not you look at a tabashi yesh b'chaisim. You look at it as a tachshit, you don't look at it as a tachshit. Our Mishnah is mashmi, you don't look at it as a tachshit. From the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, it's mashmi, you do look at it as a tachshit. You know what it really boils down to? This machlokes is from Nechemya and the Chachamim. What's the ikar of a ring that has a chaisim? Is the ikar the ring, or is the ikar the chaisim? If the ikar is the ring, then it's a tachshit. If the ikar is the chaisim, then it's not going to be a tachshit. Our Mishnah that says it's not a tachshit is going contra Rav Nechemya, who holds that the ikar is the chaisim. The Mishnah Masechtas Kelim that says that it is a tachshit, meaning it's mekabel tumah, is going according to Chachamim that say that you look at the thing that supports the ring, supports the chaisim, not the other way around. That's why it's going to be mekabel tumah. That's the first teretz of the Gemara. Rav says a tzadim tani. It's not a stira. The Brais, that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, we read it wrong. What did the Mishnah say? Mishnah was discussing what's considered a keli, a tachshit, in terms of being mekabel tumah. Tachshit einoshim tmei. And then it said, Tabas, we're assuming that it doesn't matter whether the ring is a man's ring or whether it's a woman's ring, it's always going to be the same. If it has a chaisim or doesn't have a chaisim, it's always going to be considered a tachshit. Rava said that's not the way you read it. Rather, yeshaleh chaisim tachshit to ish, einaleh chaisim tachshit to ish. Meaning, it's not ben she yeshaleh, einaleh, never matters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have to know, is this a man's ring or a woman's ring? A man's ring, a chaisim is considered a tachshit. A woman's ring, it's not. And as a result, our Mishnah is talking about not b'me'ish yoitza, b'me'ish yoitza. Talking about me'ish yoitza, so it's true. If it has a chaisim, it's not considered a tachshit. The Mishnah said it was. The Mishnah was talking about a man. It wasn't talking about a woman. Nachma Yitzchak Amar, Tuma, Shabbos, Karamis. The whole question doesn't start. It's two different sugyas. One is Shabbos and one is Tuma. You're telling me that it's considered carrying on Shabbos, but it's considered a keli to be mekabel tumah. Why is that a stira? Tumah kli ma'isam rachmana. The kli. What's the determining when you learn Masechtas Kelim? What do you have to know? Hint. Masechtas Kelim, right? See, after, is it a keli or not? Is it, as long as it's a keli, it's a keli. Who cares if it's a tachshit? It's not a tachshit. It's a keli. That's all that matters. Oh, but as it relates to Shabbos, however, mishum asiyam rachmana. You have to know: is it a piece of jewelry or is it some other keli? So therefore, it very much has to do with whether or not it has a chaisim or doesn't have a chaisim. Exhale. So two ha'aris, two light ha'aris, as it relates to today's daf. The first ha'ar is, so the Gemara was working through its analysis of the Mishnah, which discussed a bunch of things that women used to wear, where the halach is loisetze isha the Shabbos. A woman's not allowed to wear these things on Shabbos. One of the things the Mishnah mentioned was an irshal zav. So an irshal zav, said the Mishnah, a woman's not allowed to wear on Shabbos. The irshal zav was a piece of jewelry. In fact, the Gemara brings a braisa that mentioned three shittos as it relates to this irshal zav. Is a woman allowed to wear it on Shabbos? Is she not allowed to wear it on Shabbos? Is it asr midei raisa, asr midrabanan? Rav Meir said an irshal zav is asr for a woman to wear midei raisa. The Chachamim said, it's also mid Rabbanan. Rabbi Eliezer said, Yoitze Isha be'ir shalzav l'chatchila. If that's the case, who's the Tana of our Mishnah that said a woman's not allowed to wear an ir shalzav on Shabbos? However, if she wears it, she's not chayiv chatos. It's not Rameyer. Rameyer said chayiv chatos. It's not Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says a woman's allowed to wear it. It's the Chachamim. Chachamim say a woman's not allowed to wear it, but it's only aser mid Rabbanan. So what exactly was the ir shalzav? Said the Gemara, my ir shalzav. Rabbi Bar Bachanan, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Bachanan said, I heard from the great Rabbi Yochanan. You know what the Yerushal Zav is? It's Yerushalayim. It was a piece of jewelry that had a picture of Yerushalayim on it. And it was made of gold and says, Rabbi Yochanan, it's k'da avale Rabbi Akiva l'davisu. This is the piece of jewelry that Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. Says Rashi, where do you find Rabbi Akiva made this piece of jewelry for his wife? So he says, take a look in Masechtas Nedarim, Daf Nun Amud Aleph. So the Gemara Masechtas Nedarim says as follows. One of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva is iskachesle barte the Kalba Savua. Rabbi Akiva married the daughter of Kalba Savua. Shama Kalba Savua. Now, Kalba Savua was extremely wealthy. He was one of the three wealthiest Jews in the world. And the Gemara says that when he heard that his daughter married Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva was an Amaretz. Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd. And he was very, very disappointed that this is my daughter. I was expecting to have the most chashev Edom in the world. This is who my daughter took. See, he was so upset at his daughter, Adra Hanami Kol Nechse. He made a neder, old school. And he said, you're not allowed to have any hanof from any of my nechasim. So the Gemara says, Ozlov and Siva Lebesisu. So Rabbi Akiva and his wife Rachel, they went ahead and they got married. And have a Gonu Beit Tivna. It was during the winter. And they were sleeping in a Beis HaTevin. They had nothing. Rabbi Akiva didn't make a lot of money. Rachel had no Yerusha. She didn't get her Nadin. Her trust fund wasn't available to her. So they're living together in this Beis HaTevin. It was very, very cold. Have a Kamenakele Tivna Mimazye. But they were trying to warm themselves in straw. And so much so that they literally had to pull straw out of their hair. They were literally wrapped in straw. Amar lo. So Rabbi Akiva turns to his wife and says, Ihavoyli. If I would have the money, Ramino Lech Yerushalayim de Dahava, I would buy you a very expensive piece of jewelry. I would buy you the Yerushalayim de Dahava. The Gemara says, as they're having this conversation, Os Eliyahu, Eliyahu Navi came, Idmulohim Kanosha, and he dressed up like an ordinary person. They called Kari above, and he was knocking on the door. Amalu said, they come to the door, and they said, sir, can I help you? So Eliyahu Navi says, yeah, Havali Purta de Tivna, I was wondering if I can please have a little bit of straw. The oldest Itzi, my wife just gave birth to a baby, Felesli Midam Laguna, my baby's freezing and I have nothing to warm the baby with. Can you please give me a little bit of straw? I'm afraid of my baby. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, linta say. So Rabbi Akiva turned to his wife and said, Chasi Gavra, take a look at this person. Meaning we're looking and we're bemoaning our fate and we're saying Nebuch to us and one day I'm hoping I'll give you this Yerushalayim Shalzav. And then look at there are people that have less than us. There's a person that filu tivna lo yisleh. He doesn't even have straw. Amrole. So Rachel turned to her husband and said four words that would change the course of Jewish history. She said, Zil Havi Beirav. I agree. It's time. We have to snap out of this. And I think you should be mechazik yourself and you should go learn Torah. The Gemara says, Ozel Tartis Rishnin. He went and he learned Torah for 12 years. Kami de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. By his two rabbeim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua. The Mishnah Tartis at the end of the 12 years. Ka'asal Abese, he came back home. Shama min Achere Beis, he heard from behind the house, the Kamali Chad Rachel the Devisu. There was a woman, Arashanta, and she tells Rachel, Rabbi Akiva's wife, Shapar Abed Lachavuch. You see, your father was right for doing this. Look at who you are. Chadadulaydamilach, you have nothing to do with your father. And besides, look at this, you married this man, right? Your husband has nothing like you. And look at this, he leaves you for 12 years. And what did she say? If he would go away for another 12 years, I would be the happiest woman in the world. He said, really? He went back, went back for another 12 years. He comes back with 24,000 Talmidim. We all know the rest of the story. Says Rashi, and the Ran, and Toisvus, and Mesechnes Nadarim, right here, Dafnun Amid Aleph. This is what the Rabbi Yochanan meant in Mesechnes Shabbos, Dafnun Tes. The Gemara said, what is it, the Irshal Zav? Amir Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim, did the Havo, could the other lay Rabbi Akiva, the Devisor, Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. There's no Gemara say the Rishayim and the Rabbi Akiva made it for his wife. But there is a Gemara that Rabbi Akiva said, I will make it for you one day. And Rabbi Akiva, if he said he was going to make it, he made it. And that's how Chazal knew he made it. This is the rest of the story. Because Rabbi Akiva said he was going to do it. He said, one day if I can afford it. Now we know the Gemara said Rabbi Akiva became a very big veer at the end of his life. So Rabbi Akiva, we know he financially was able to afford it. And he went ahead and he made it for his wife. This is the rest of the story. It's interesting. There's a Yerushalmi right here in the beginning of Perek B'Me'i Isha. Right here in the beginning of Perek B'Me'i Isha. This is fascinating. Ma'isa Rabbi Akiva Sha'osa Le'ishtoi Irshal Zahav. There was a story where Rabbi Akiva, in the Yerushalmi, it's Mefurish, made for his wife an Irshal Zav. Chamsei Itzei to Rabbi Gamliel, the Kanyaspa. Rabbi Gamliel's wife saw the Irshal Zav, and she was jealous. Asesva Amru Kumi Bahilo. So she went to her husband, and she said, I don't understand. How come Rabbi Akiva bought his wife an Irshal Zav? How come I don't have an Irshal Zav? Amalah, so he told her, Hachin Havis, obviously, would you have done for me what Rabbi Akiva's wife did for him? Kama da Havis, Avdalei, da Havim is Davno, Mikliyasa, de Resha, Viyavle, Vuloi, by Raisa. Do you know the Mesiris Nefesh that this woman, Rachel, had for her husband, Rabbi Akiva? She earned it.
If you earn it, I'll buy it for you too. Don't try this at home. But she earned it. And because she earned it, it's for that reason I'm giving it. This is the Yerushalmi right here in the beginning of the sixth paragraph. But I'm going to tell you even more the rest of the story. There's one more piece to this. The Yerushalmi is well known. This is not so well known. And this is in Ovis de Rabnosin, and it's also Perek Vav. It's Perek Vav in, everything here is Perek Vav. It's Perek Vav in Bavli. The Gemara Masechta Sedarim Daf Nun is in the sixth paragraph of Nedarim. The Yerushalmi is right here in the sixth paragraph. And the Ovis de Rabnosin is in the sixth paragraph of Ovis de Rabnosin. As well, Asid Rabbi Akiva says the Avos de Rabnosin lechayev es kol aniyim bedin. One day Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayev all the aniyim. So we know the Gemara says in Yuma Hillel's mechayev es aniyim. Says the Avos de Rabnosin, Rabbi Akiva is going to be mechayev all the aniyim. Shem oimer lehem ibnei maloi lo madatem. Because if after 120 a person's going to come up to Shemayim and they're going to ask him, why didn't you learn Torah? Hey Mamru, so what's the ani going to say? What's his go-to defense? He says, "Aniyim ayinu. What were we supposed to do? We were struggling for parnasa. Oymim lahem. You know what they're going to tell him? Rabbi Akiva ani biyaser. Rabbi Akiva was so poor. We just read the Gemara in the Darim Daf Nun. Umidolgul haya. So look what Rabbi Akiva had. So it's because Rabbi Akiva had nothing, and yet Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva. So this is the way he's going to be able to mechayv. Hey, mamru. But they're going to say, "Mipnei tapenu. What happens if Daniim have a comeback? They're going to say, "You know what? You know why? No, it's because we had children. We had to take care of. Oymim lahem. Rabbi Akiva hayulei banim ubanim." So that's interesting. We don't know that much about Rabbi Akiva's children. There's very little mentions of Rabbi Akiva's children in the Shas. But they're going to tell Rabbi Akiva had banim ubanos. He had a mishpacha. You know what they're going to say? You know what the next comeback is going to be? It's true. Rabbi Akiva was poor. He was very, very poor. And Rabbi Akiva had a large mishpacha they had to take care of. But you know what Rabbi Akiva had? Rabbi Akiva had a very special wife. And that's why Rabbi Akiva is not a good comparable. Don't compare us to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had a wife. Rabbi Akiva had an Ezek Kenegdai on a different level. And it's because of that. It's because of that. You can't tell me. You can't have tainas on me. Rabbi Akiva. They're going to say, if I had Rochel as my wife, then maybe. Says the Avot Rab Nosson. So what's then? Abam Shana Halach Lumay Torah. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old when he went to learn Torah. Soif Shleish Esrei Shana Limay Torah Barab. After 13 years, different Gersayas here, he started teaching Torah. Amru Lay Niftam in a Rabbi Akiva, at the end of his life, became so wealthy. He had tables full of gold and silver. When he used to go to his bed, he would climb up a sulam shalzav. Ladders made of gold. Says the Avos de Rab Nosson, his wife went out with a kardamin, another piece of expensive jewelry, and an ir shel zahav. Amr lei Tamidav, says Tamidim said, Rebbe, biyashtoni mimasho asisala. You're making us look bad, Rebbe. Mamish, this is the reshiva, the gadol hador's wife is wearing such an expensive piece of jewelry. You're making us look bad. Amr lehem, he told him, har beit sar nitzare imi batayra. He says, you don't realize how much my wife deserves this ir shel zahav. Fascinating. So this is a Gemara in the Darim Daf Nun and a Yerushalmi and an Ovis de Rab Nosson. The interesting thing is that Rabbi Akiva told his wife he was going to buy her the Ir Shel Zav in the beginning. He told her before she even said Zil Havi Beirav, go learn Torah. So you have to put this together a little bit, but a little bit of Drush. But the bottom line is, here's the rest of the story. The Gemara says, what's the Ir Shel Zav? Is Yerushalayim the Dahava? What is this? Could the Avodah Rabbi Akiva LeDavisu? That's the Gemara in the Darim Daf Nun and Aleph. When Rabbi Akiva was betachlis so anios, he promised his wife that this was something he was going to do. Either way, that's a little bit of the rest of the story. Just to end with one more ha'ara, and that is a classic Meshech Chachma. The Ran brings from Rabbeinu Tam a chiddush that we're going to get into as far as the Lumdus goes at the end of the week, but. Now, from the Drush perspective, the Ram brings from Rabbeinu Tam an amazing chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam said that even though the Mishnah says a woman's not allowed to go outside on Shabbos wearing jewelry, it's only a woman that's not allowed to go outside on Shabbos wearing jewelry. But a man is allowed to go outside on Shabbos wearing jewelry. So if a man has a piece of jewelry, he's allowed to go outside wearing it on Shabbos. Why? What happened to the Cheshash? Sholfa u'mechavya. She may show it to her friend. So he says, Noshen daitin kalois saying. And because Noshen ha daitin kalois, so there's a concern, a woman, she may not realize that she's going to end up carrying dalet ames b'shus harabim. He said, but for a man, there's no concern of daitin kalois. And if for a man, there's no concern of daitin kalois, he said, this is not something I'm worried about. Remeir Simcha, in Meshech Chachma, a classic, an epic piece. In Parashas Kedoshim says, I'm going to tell you the Pnimiyas HaTorah of this Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning, Pashup Pshat is, a woman's not allowed to wear jewelry, you're concerned, you may carry Dalet Ames B'Shus HaRabim. A man is allowed to wear jewelry, because there's no concern that the man's going to carry Dalet Ames B'Shus HaRabim. He says, but I'm going to tell you a little bit of the Pnimiyas, perhaps, of what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. And that's with one Hakdama. There's a Gemara Masechtas Kedushin, that Peyam Aleph Amir Aleph. Omar Ovin said, Sakva Deshasa, Rigla. What does that mean? Sakva deshasa riglo. Says Rashi, the worst time of year as it relates to arayas is Yontif. Meaning the time that people are most vulnerable when it comes to the yetzahara of arayas is Yontif time. Rashi says because on Yontif, all the men and the women would congregate, they would go hit drashos, and they would start mingling, and as a result, very often it led to arayas. So the worst time of the year as it relates to arayas is Yontif. In fact, Tosfos right there, Masechtas Kedushin, Daf Pei Aleph, Amar Aleph, says that's the reason we say Bahav after Yontif. The reason we say Bahav after Yontif, Lokach Noagu Lehisano Yislachar Pesach Ulachar Sukkis, Yonah Diyema, the reason is because that was a time that people were nichshol in arayas and they needed a kapara. It's for that reason that they used to fast. Says Rameir Simcha. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a different shot. He says, I think the reason that sakva deshasa is rigla is because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Yavis, Yafa Talmud Torah v'derech eretz, sheyegia shneya mishkachas avon. When a person learns Torah and a person's busy, work, derech eretz, It's good. You know why? Because sheyigia shneim, when you have the two together, mishkachas avon, you have no time to do averis. And as a result, you can be secure that you're going to be able to fight off the Yetzirah. Says Rameh Simcha, on Yontif, there's no derech eretz. On Yontif, you learn Torah. Kuloi Lashem, Chatzi Lashem, but there's no derech eretz. If that's the case, you don't have the shmir of the Mishnah in office of Yafa Talmud Torah derech eretz. Sheyegia shneim mishkachas avon. So says Rameir Simcha. That's why sakva deshasa riglo. That's why on Yontif people are more vulnerable. He says, you want to know why they're more vulnerable on Yontif? Because on Yontif they don't have Torah derech eretz. You have Torah but no derech eretz. And if you have Torah without derech eretz, you don't have the Mishnah in office of Yafa Talmud Torah derech eretz. Sheyegia shneim mishkachas avon. Says Rameir Simcha. If that's the case, it's mistake. That this is not only true on Yontif, it's true on Shabbos as well. Yontif's a little more dramatic, Yontif's long. But Shabbos, one day a week, you have the same issue. We're sakfa deshasa riglo. Because on Shabbos also you don't have yofa toirim derech eretz. Sheikiyah shneim mishkachas oven. Says Rameh Simcha, I'll tell you another thought. L'chur, if this is the case, I think in the Beis HaMikdash, where there was only Torah, there was only Avodah, but there was no Derech Eretz, it was Kayanim Bavidasam, Ulevim Beshirim Uvezimram. There too, people were more at risk. They were more at risk in the Beis HaMikdash, because you don't have Yofa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, Sheigiyah Shnei Meshkach HaSavim, says Rameh Simcha. That's Peshah in the Gemara we learned last week, where the Gemara says that the Bnei Eli, they were Nichshol in Arayos, with the Noshem Ashoifchois, the Asher Yishkuvan Anoshem Atsoifis Pesach Oil. He says, where did they come to arise? So Pasha, you learn it was punked in the oil mayid. Says Rameh Simcha, wasn't punked in the oil mayid. It happened precisely because it was in the oil mayid. You know why? Because in the oil mayid, it's more dangerous. Because in the oil mayid, there's Torah, there's so much Kedusha, but there's no Derech Eretz. And Yofa Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, Sheigiyah Shnei Meshkach HaZavim. Says Rameh Simcha, that's Pshat. The Baal Turim asks Akasha. In Parshas Kedoshim, the Pasuk says, Al techala lesbitcha lehaznoisa, v'loi sizna ha'aretz, u'mal ha'aretz zima. So that Pasuk is talking about arayas. Al techala lesbitcha lehaznoisa, v'loi sizna ha'aretz, u'mal ha'aretz zima. Arayas. Next Pasuk, eshapsoisai tishmoiru, u'mikdashi tiro, ani Hashem. Says Rameh Simcha, what's the smichas between the two psukim? Arayas, eshapsoisai tishmoiru, u'mikdashi tiro. Says Rameh Simcha, half of a fellow. You know what the connection is? Because on Shabbos, as in Shabbos and Yontif, Shabbos with the Shasa Riglo, in the base of Mikdash, where there's no Torah and Derech Eretz, those are the two times you have to be extra careful when it comes to Arayas. Is al techala lesbitcha lehaznoisa, v'loi sizna aretz, u'mal aretz zima. What's the next passing? Eshapsoisai tishmoiru, if there's an idea of umol aret zima, you have to be worried about arayas. You have to be extra careful on Shabbos and Yontif. Sak for the shasa rigel kedushin pei aleph amen aleph. You have to be extra careful when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash Shabbos nunhei with the bnei eli, because those are places where all you have is Torah. And if you have Torah, you don't have derech eretz. It's yigiyah shneim. You don't have the yigiyah shneim mishachas avin. Says Rameh Simcha. Here's the punchline. There's a medrash tanchuma. He brings it from a yalkut, but it's also a medrash tanchuma. In Parshas Vayishlach, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Ma'u Shatitz Teitzei Isha Be'ir Shal Zav B'Shabbos. Is it okay for a woman to go out with an Ir Shal Zav on Shabbos? And there's a whole discussion over there. And if you take a look in the Medrash says that the Chacham that answered this question said that not only is it not okay for a woman to wear an Ir Shal Zav on Shabbos, but it's not so poshut for her to wear an Ir Shal Zav
even when it's not Shabbos. And the reason is because even B'chol, there's a concern that maybe people will see her, and it can maybe lead Lidei Avera. So Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, could a woman wear an Irshal Zav on Shabbos? And the answer, not in Gemara, but in Medrash. The answer in Medrash, in the world of Drush and Divrei Agadah, is not only is a woman not supposed to wear an Irshal Zav on Shabbos, but I feel a mitten vach. Even during the week, it's not so simple because of Tznius-related issues. It's not so simple. So says Rav Meir Simcha, if that's the case, then why did Chazal say it on Shabbos? If really you're not supposed to wear it, be Moisachol, why'd they say it on Shabbos? Okay, so of course the Pashup Shad is, there's a Chashash. You may come to carry Dalai Lama's Pashup Sarabim. But going with the train of thought of the Medrash, that there's a Tznius issue, so why is it on Shabbos? You know what the answer is? Because sak for the shasa riglo. Because on Shabbos you have to be more careful. Because on Shabbos we don't have Torah derech eretz. All you have is Torah. You don't have the Yegiyah Shneim Nishkachas Oven. As a result, people let their guard down a little bit. There's more of a concern. There's more of a concern on Shabbos. That's why they say Tze'isha b'Shabbos. Even in the Medrash, it's more on Shabbos than it is during the week. Because on Shabbos you don't have the extra shmira. Because on Shabbos you have the extra shmira. Says Rav Meir Simcha, if that's the case, that's Pshat Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says it's only a woman. It's not a man. Why is it only a woman? Why not a man? So the Pashup Shad is because Nashamat Aitim Kali is they're going to come to carry. But says Rav Meir Simchan, the pnimius of the Indian, it's related to Inyan Etznius. Inyan Etznius has nothing to do with a man. For a woman, this is a chash, a man who's going to wear a piece of jewelry, it's not going to leave the Dei Avera. So as a result, it's for that reason this halach is only true for a woman. That's why this halach is not true for a man. Just to end with one ha'ara, one thought. And that is that the Mishnah says, Yofa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, She Yigiyah Shnei Mishkachas Oven. Who said this? Who said Yofa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, She Yigiyah Shnei Mishkachas Oven? It was Rabbi Gamliel Benoish or Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi had a son of Rabbi Gamliel. There were three Rabbi Gamliels in Shas. There was Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein, who lived before the Churban. There was Rabbi Gamliel Diyavne of Brachas Tav Chav Ches fame. And then there was the Rabbi Gamliel, who was the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. They were all probably named after each other, all part of the same family. But Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had a son Gamliel. In fact, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi passed away, and he said, I want Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, we saw earlier, to be the next Rosh Hashiva, he appointed a son Gamliel to be the next Nasi. So I was thinking, Rabbi Gamliel Benoish, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, I mean, why was he the first one to say this? Yofa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, if there was ever a line that was Marish Olamos, this was the line. So why did we wait until Rabbi Gamliel Benoish, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? How come it wasn't said earlier? So the truth is like this, I never understood. Yegiyah Shnei Mishkachas Oven, Torah we know is matzel from everything. Ayin soita daf chafalaf amir alef. It's matzal min aperonius, it's matzal min achet. Bein be'idna da asikba, bein be'idna da loy asikba. It's matzal from the malach hamavistav and a melach of chizda. So what's going on over here? Why do you need Torah derech eretz? Why can't Torah be enough? But it could be the pshat is because the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, that tzadik zayin, the world was created for 6,000 years. The first 2,000 years, there was no Torah. The second set of 2,000 years, there was Torah. The last 2,000 years, with your Moshe Mashiach. Rashi says a Perek Chelik. It sounds a little from the Gemara, the last 2,000 years, there's no Torah. It's not true. So Rashi says, it means, in addition to there being Torah in the last 2,000 years, it's also your Moshe Mashiach. But the Marsha says it's not Mashma that way. The Marsha says it's Mashma that Torah ended on some level in the year 4,000. Meaning, there was Torah from 2,000 to 4,000, and after that, of course, there's Torah. But like Rav Shimon's Lesley Mukta, there's no Torah. On some level, there was such a Yerida that on some level, Shimon, of course, holds a Muktzah. Of course, there's Torah. But qualitatively, it's not Mamash on the same. So says Marsha, what happened in the year 4000? I'm going to tell you what happened. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Pasuk says in Eicha, Malka v'sareh bagoyim ain't Torah. We've spoken about this so many times over the years. Malka v'sareh bagoyim ain't Torah. We lost not only the Avodah when the Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, we lost Torah as well. So there was a tremendous Yerida in Torah. And because there was a Yerida in Torah, so it's for that reason, there's no Torah at the year 4000. But the Marsha says there's one problem. Because if you take out a calendar, if you make the Cheshbon, Beis HaMikdash wasn't destroyed in the year 4000. It was destroyed 172 years before the year 4000. So if it was destroyed 172 years before the year 4000, doesn't stim. Malkav Sreba Goyim in Torah happened 172 years earlier. Says the Marsha, you're right. You know what you have to say? Even though the Beis HaMikdash was Chari, but as long as there were yeshivas, and there were Tanoim and there were Tzadikim learning on a level, the yeshivas kept it going. But after, says the Marsha, Shem'acha Shemais Rebbe, V'gavar HaGolos, V'rabu HaTzorois, V'kolu Yimei HaTorah, Misham V'elach, at that point, it's no Torah. There were 2,000 years where there was Torah being learned on the highest level.
It started when Avraham Avinu started being Makarev people, Vanefesh HaShe'asa B'Charon, and it ended when? When Rebbe passed away. So when Rebbe was Nifter, ain't Torah. On Malkav Esareh Bagoyim, ain't Torah. It should have been by the Churban, but it hung on for another 172 years. I once spoke out from Rabbi Shuaba, the Rav Shlita, who said, V'yaday oichezes ba'kev Esav, that Yaakov was grabbing on to Esav ba'kev. Ekev is gematria 172. He stole 172 years from Esav. Because really, the Churban should have started 172 years, but it was Yaday Yechezes Ba'kev Esav. But either way, so it could be that's the Vart. As long as there was Torah, you're right. As long as we were in the 2,000 years of Torah, then Torah itself is Megal Matzel. It's the biggest Shmir in the world. But Rabbi Gamliel, Benoisha Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Oimer. But after Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was Nifter, and like the Marsha says of Berek Chelek, in Chedush Yagod, the Sanhedrin, Tzadik Zion. Now that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was Nifter, now it's Malkav Esareh Bagoyim Ein Torah. So you know who said it? Rabbi Gamliel, Benoisha Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the next Nasi. He got up and he said, Rabboisa, Yofa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz Yegi Yishnei Meshkach HaZovin. Now we can't just rely on learning Torah anymore, because Malkav Esareh Bagoyim Ein Torah, we can't learn Torah on the same level anymore. It's not a coincidence. It's Dafka Rabbi Gamliel, perhaps, Benoisha Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who said this, because he was the first Manik in Klal Yisrael that lived in the Tkufa of Ein Torah. Now we need a little more help. Now it's Yafa Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz.